Amen, amen. All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We apologize for our late start. Had some last-minute technical difficulties, but Lord willing, everything is working now. If I can get a sound confirmation from the most beautiful woman on this earth, my wife. Sorry, sisters, it's already taken. That title has been dispensed according to the dispensation of Carlos Almanza to his wife. Hey! All right, guys. Can you confirm out there for the sound, please? I sure appreciate that. All right, guys, would you do me a favor for this Sunday school hour? Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter number 33. Numbers chapter 33. And let's go ahead now and start here reading together in verse number 50. Numbers chapter 33 in verse number 50. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see y'all, Sister Keita. Yay, all right. Praise God. We've been praying for you, girl. We sure miss you. All right, y'all. Numbers chapter 33, Sunday school hour, starting a couple of minutes late. Here we are. Hope you guys have a Bible, and let's go ahead and turn there together now. Amen. In this context, as we open up this lesson before we get ready for the Sunday service, what's going on? Remember, guys, that God made a promise to a fellow by the name of Abraham, and he continued that promise through his children, Isaac and Jacob. And he told Abraham a long time ago that he was going to bless his descendants with a piece of land called Canaan. But before he would take them into that land, they would be enslaved for 400 plus a little bit years, if you will, in the land of bondage called Egypt. And over time, that prophecy came true. Eventually, once Jacob passed on to the afterlife, if you will, gathered into his fathers, Joseph was used by God mightily to be a blessing and, if you will, a deliverer for the people of Israel when he developed, by the grace of God, a relationship with King Pharaoh of the time. And that's how God preserved his people Israel through Joseph. So after the years had gone on, remember by that time, Israel had increased, they multiplied in the land of Egypt, and the new King Pharaoh, if you will, the secondary presidents and so on and so forth, they forgot that amazing fellowship that old King Pharaoh had with Joseph and all the blessings and the camaraderie. And before you know it, that Pharaoh during the time of Moses, he was a bad King Pharaoh. As a matter of fact, over time, his leadership, his council, if you will, the Congress of President Pharaoh at the time told him, hey, we need to treat these Jews bad. They're getting too big. They're multiplying like rabbits. We need to bring more burdens upon them. We need to make them work, because if not, they may try to take us out because they are way more in number. And so God remembered the covenant. He remembered the promise, and he raised up Moses, the deliverer, to deliver them out of the house of bondage, out from under King Pharaoh's hand, and to bring them where, church? Into the land of promise. But he was going to do that all by what? His own power, his own strength. All the Hebrews needed to do is put their faith in the word of God, and then God would do the rest by sanctifying them unto himself, redeeming them unto himself, and taking them into that promised land by the angel of the Lord. So a little bit of context, and then let's read the verses, and then we'll get today's Sunday message or Sunday school message here going on. All right, so by this time, they're already in the wilderness. They had already escaped the land of Egypt, all that amazing supernatural stories of the signs, wonders, and miracles in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh had already passed on, the Red Sea split. Now they're traveling through. Yes, God has already been judging some Jews for their disobedience, their idolatry, their fornication, and all their silliness, as the Bible calls it. And so they're going. They're making trek. The faithful Hebrews, he's going to keep preserving those who reject him. Cut them off. So here he says in Numbers 33, verse 50, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. To the more ye shall give, the more inheritance. To the fewer ye shall give, the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But watch this now, church. This is going to be the lesson for today, the spiritual application. If ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Once again, forgive me. I'm a wretched man, Lord God, without the grace of God. I'm a wretched man, Lord, without the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I need Jesus. I need the power of the Spirit of God. I need the blood to continue to have the effect upon me to wash away my sins, Lord. I just want to be a vessel now through whom you can minister this lesson to our church this morning. Lord God, regardless if we're few in number or plenteous, Lord, this Bible can still minister to any heart who has ears to hear. Today, God, give those congregants that are gathered ears to hear and those that are watching online ears to hear this message this afternoon, Lord, for the benefit of their spiritual life and their maturity with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message, or the title, if you will, of this Sunday school hour is called, What Are the Pricks in Your Eyes? What are the pricks in your eyes? And of course, church, we're not using that in a derogatory manner. We're not using the old worldly, if you will, slang words and, you know, calling each other pricks. No, we're saying, what are those pricks, if you will? What are those things? What are those temptations? What are those hindrances? What are those problems? What are those things that you may still have that are in your life that even though God saved you, even though he delivered you from the old man and the power of sin over your life, what are some of those pictures? What are some of those molten images? What are some of those idols? What are some of those habits that we have not driven out of our new life as a Christian that are still a problem in our life today as a Christian? And so we're going to try to get some spiritual application from this message, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. Turn your Bible with me now to the book of Acts chapter number 10, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's go to Acts 10, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 10, and then let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. Acts 10, let's go down here to verse number 36. I want to liken to you today that just exactly, principally speaking, the same manner in which God raised up a man by the name of Moses, sent them to deliver the people of Israel out of the land by the power of the angel of the Lord to drive out the enemies, to rid the land of all the unclean and wicked homosexuals, the perverts, the sodomites, the wicked people who were causing the people of Israel to fall after their gods by worshiping idols, everything of the world. You guys understand what we're saying. The angel of the Lord was sent before the nation of Israel to drive them out. They had only believed the word of God, and the Lord would do all the rest. And yes, he would use human vessels like Joshua to physically clean house. You understand what we're saying? But in the end of the day, it's all the power of God. All they had to do was what? Believe the word of God. In like manner, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners from who? The power of the devil, the power of sin over the lives. And the Holy Spirit of God has been sent to not only seal us, to comfort us, but to convict us of sin and unrighteousness. And he's the one that is trying his best to talk to you. He's the one that's trying his best to warn you, to put it upon your spirit, to let you know, daughter, don't do that. Son, don't do this. Daughter, don't watch that. Son, don't hear this. He's trying to drive it out, but he's warning you. If you continue to let these things be a part of your life, even now as a born-again Christian, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be pricks in your eyes. They're going to be thorns on your side. They're going to vex you, even though you're born, blood-washed, sanctified. Look at here in Acts chapter 10. Here we have in verse number 37, here's Peter. He is preaching to a lost Gentile, if you will, the fellow of Italia. And he says here, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Keep an eye on that, brothers, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Before you and I got saved, church, you know what you and I were? We were oppressed of the devil. We were blinded by the devil's schemes and his subtlety over our hearts, if you will, over the things that we used to believe in that were not Jesus. It doesn't matter if you thought evolution was true. It doesn't matter if you were a gang member. It doesn't matter if you were a prostitute. It doesn't matter if you were a fornicator, if you were a drunkard. You and I were oppressed to the devil because the devil was operating in the realm of our sensations and our feelings, and he kept motivating that. He kept, if you will, adding fuel to that sensational fire to keep us believing in everything but Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is sent by God Almighty, his Father, into this world to not only do good for the nation of Israel, not only offer them deliverance from sickness and disease and oppression of the devil, but power. Power. And we're going to talk about that before we close. And the Bible says, for God was with him. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. There's a great power that Jesus Christ offers Christians. Amen. There's a great power that Jesus Christ has enabled Christians with. But if they don't use the power that God has given them, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, no wonder why they still have pricks in their eyes. No wonder why they still have thorns in their lives that is hindering them from enjoying this freedom of the promised land of salvation, amen, of joy and happiness and peace and purity and sobriety, because they're not driving it out. By what? Using the power that Christ has given them, all right? All right, now look here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So what is that teaching? Jesus Christ was God who became man. That is God manifest in the flesh. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Who had the power over you before you became saved? The devil. Who was going to take you to his hellfire prepared for him and his angels? The devil. But who had the power when you believed in him to make you free from the power of the devil? Jesus Christ, who had the power to not only make you free from the devil's stronghold over your life, but the power of sin over your life? Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So that's what Jesus Christ was sent to do. He was manifest in the flesh to live as a man, to die in the place of a man, which is the death penalty. Even though he was sinless, what does the scripture say? He bore all our sins upon him so he could destroy. Notice that. Him that had power of the devil. Did you guys read that with me though? You see this word destroy? What did God command Moses to tell the Hebrews over there when they go into that land? Y'all better destroy those molten images. Y'all better destroy those idols and the pictures and the false gods. And if you will, for application today, those movies that you are watching over there, y'all better not watch them. Those things that they go to and those social entertainments and those amusement parks, y'all better watch out. Y'all better destroy that, because here's what's going to happen, Israel. They're going to be a prick in your eye and they're going to be a thorn in your side. Christ, he already did everything for you, amen. He gave you the power. He enabled you. Are you using that power today, friend? Now look, verse 15. The Bible says here concerning Jesus Christ, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You like that? So what are we going to do for our next study? So Brother Giovanni, he's gonna remember this. He's going to get his Bible study software, bondage. You're going to cross-reference that with Exodus, the house of bondage, which is the people of Israel underneath whose power? Pharaoh and Egypt. So again, we all know this. You're going to hear this from different Baptist preachers, brothers. Egypt is a type of the world. You're going to hear that. And King Pharaoh was a type of the devil, if you will. They were in bondage, if you will, to the taskmaster. So now that's what you're going to help out for your next message, amen, and your spiritual application. Now look here. That Bible says in verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, so he was a Hebrew, amen. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he, talking about Jesus, might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, not the laws of given them, if you will, but Jesus Christ. Bible says in verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, notice now, church, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What does that word succor mean? Some of you guys have a definition Bible I bought you a long time ago. Can somebody go in and read that for me if you're following along? What does that word mean? Some of you guys have a dictionary in your Bible. What does that mean? Succor. Anybody have that dictionary I bought you? Nobody? I'll give it to you. It just means to help. He's able to help. So what did the scripture teach? He became a man. Regardless, female, male right now, biologically, we understand. He became a man. You and I are man. We are part of mankind from Adam. We know that. So what? He could deliver you from the oppression of the devil, the power of sin that the devil had over you, and he is able to help you when you are tempted. Are you following along with me now? Are you letting Jesus Christ help deliver you from the power of sin and the power of the devil's stronghold over your life? Are you tapping into that power that he enabled you with and he empowered you with so you don't have to continue to let the molten images and the things of this world to be a prick in your eyes and to be a thorn on your side? Anybody out there? Okay, so Jesus Christ, he did that for us. And now let's go back to read a little bit of concerning the nation of Israel. Go back to Exodus chapter number 23, Exodus 23. Let's go back there now in the book of Exodus chapter number 23, amen. We know that God promised to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. We know that he delivered the word of this hope through his servant Moses, that God would go before them to bring them into the land. And so let me go ahead and show you this now, Exodus 23. Let's go down to verse number 20. El libro de Éxodo, capítulo 23, versículo 20. Look at what God said. Now listen, and you're gonna liken this now to what I was just sharing with you, a parallel to God sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to free us from the power of the devil. God sending his angel to take the nation of Israel into the promised land. Look at verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Who wants to keep you in the way? Anybody out there? Who wants to keep you in the way right now to keep you obedient to the Father, to guide you in the ways of the Father? That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look, verse 20. To bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now here's what Jehovah warns the nation of Israel. He says in verse 21, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Could it be, church, could it be that today Jesus Christ wants to help you with the pricks that you have in your life, with the thorns you have in your side? Could it be that Jesus Christ wants to deliver you from those images that you shouldn't be watching secretly, those movies that you know you shouldn't be watching secretly, that music that you know you shouldn't be listening to secretly, all the friendships, if you will? Could it be that Jesus Christ wants to cut them off from your life? Could it be that he wants to deliver them from your life? But do you want him to? That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Do I want God, the power that he gave me, to use that power so he can continue to deliver me in the way? I want you to think about that as you think about today's Sunday school lesson. All right, now let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. This is the promise that God made. That's why I told you, church, this is going to be all an act of God. This is going to be all by the grace of God that he was willing to accomplish on the behalf of his people had they only believe his word and respond in obedience. Look at verse number 17, Exodus 3. The Bible says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the cuando creemos en él, el poder de no nada más salvar nuestros almas por creyendo en lo que él hizo por nosotros, pero el poder santificarnos después. Y el título de esta escuela dominical es, I don't know how to say the pricks in your eyes, but we'll translate that later. ¿Qué son cosas todavía en nuestra vida que son, how do I say that? Problems in your eyes, problems in your heart. All right, y'all can take care of that, ladies. Okay. All right, Acts chapter 26. Let's go down here to verse 18. Okay, now here we have it. Listen here. Now here's what Paul is going to witness before the king, and we'll get there, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But here's part of the ministry that he offered, not just to the apostle Paul. All right, you guys remember that this is the power that the apostles were going to go forth to preach to the world, if you will. Look at here, verse 18. The Lord says here, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So you know what happened here? Here's what happened. Just like God sent the angel of the Lord to deliver the Israelites out of the house of bondage, out of the afflictions from King Pharaoh, who were oppressing them all those years while they were there, God sent forth his son into this world, not just to die for our sins, but that he might deliver us from our sins. He wants to remove the pricks from your eyes. He wants to remove the thorns from your side. He has the power. And he delivered you, friend, from the power that Satan had. Look at that. He delivered you. But are you walking in that power? And are you letting that power continuously delivering you, friend? That's what you have to ask yourself. Okay, now let's go back here to Numbers chapter number 5. Numbers chapter number 5. The Bible promised Israel, if you will, once they get in that land, he would give them all these kind of laws that would govern their life, if you will, govern their flesh, their affairs while they're living there in the land of promise. And God told these Hebrews, you guys better do this because I am dwelling in the midst of you. And you guys can read about food that was clean and unclean. You guys can read about if they touch the dead body, that guy has to wash himself and kind of hang out over here and all those kind of things because he wants for the people of Israel to be pure just like he is. He wants the people of Israel to be righteous just like he is. So look at Numbers chapter 5, verse number 1. The Lord speaking unto Moses saying, command the children of Israel that they put out the camp every leper, everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps. Now watch this. In the midst whereof I dwell. And so we have there certain laws, if you will. Había unos leyes que Dios, dio al pueblo de Israel, que debían de obedecer, porque Dios dijo aquí, en versículo 3 de Números, de aquellos entre los cuales yo habito, su presencia iba a estar en el medio del campo del pueblo de Israel, y si los hebreos tocaron a cuerpos muertos o se vieron unos problemas con sus cuerpos de sangre leproso, cosas así, que necesitan quitar ellos afuera porque quería a la gente que sean puro adentro porque ahí estaba la presencia de Dios. So también, if you will, likewise, the Christian. Vamos a 1 Corintios capítulo 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How many of you guys are living in the land of Canaan right now? Anybody out there? Nope. Okay, so nadie vive en la tierra de Canaan? No? Okay. Where do we live today? We live in Oceanside. Vimos aquí en Oceanside. Where does God live? He lives inside of my heart. Él, ahorita Dios, vive en nuestro corazón por el Espíritu Santo. Dice la Biblia, que vamos a leer, que el cuerpo es el templo de quién? El Espíritu Santo. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go down here to verse number 9. Versículo 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Amen. I am no longer that guy. Amen. Nosotros, y esto eres algunos de vosotros, we're no longer the drunkard. We're no longer the fornicator. But now look at verse 11. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He says in 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So if Jesus gave us the power to be delivered from the devil's stronghold, death, what about all those other powers that the devil had over you? The fornication, the reviling, the extortion, the abusing, the drunkenness, and everything else that we used to do. Okay, so think about that now, powers. He says here in verse number 13, meats for the belly, belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Whose power brought the children of Israel into the promised land? God's power. Whose power? delivered your soul from the power of the devil? God's power. Whose power is also going to glorify this body? God's power. It's all God's power. It's todo el poder de Dios. 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So clearly, church, there are certain sins that affect your body physically, and there are other sins that commit your that affect your heart spiritually. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as I come to a close, what's today's lesson, church? Just a quick nugget. Just like God dwelt in the midst of his people Israel, not only through the wilderness journey, so the tabernacle set up in the midst of the camp, and eventually in the promised land, likewise, God dwells in the midst of my body. And he commanded those children of Israel, look, guys, when you guys get over there, you guys better destroy everything that these Gentiles had. You better destroy their gods. You better destroy their images. You better destroy their all those practices that they had, because I am going to be there, and I want you to be pure unto me. Here's the power that I've given you, because if you don't, they're going to be a prick. They're going to be a problem, and they're going to vex you for the rest of your life. Today, Christian, I just have a quick question to ask you. What are the pricks in your life? What are those things, guys, that you are still permitting to watch? What are those things, church, that you are still permitting to listen to? What are those things that you're still permitting to hang out with, whether it's people, whether you're secretly drink here and there, whether you secretly hang out with that person here and there, whether you do this thing, if you will, or do that thing, if you will. Now, you don't have to confess your sins to me, church. We're not the Roman Catholic Church. Y'all understand. But I'm just trying to tell you, church, he has given you the power from what? Satan. The power of the powers that Satan offered unto you, which was, man, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, all those things that he was influencing you to do. He gave you the power to have freedom from that. Just like he gave the power of the Israelites from one place to another and the ability to drive it all out. As I come to a close, let's just reread this one last time. Numbers 33:55. He told them, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, y si no echaréis a los moradores de la tierra de delante de vosotros, then it shall come to pass, sucederá que los que dejaréis de ellos serán por aguijones en vuestros ojos y por espinas en vuestros costados. If you let them remain, he told them, they're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And look at the last verse. This is kind of crazy. Moreover, it shall come to pass, será además que haré a vosotros como yo pensé hacerles a ellos, that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now that's wild. Now we know we're not a Hebrew, all right, with conditional things trying to take out people. We know that. But what's the lesson, church? If you don't get a hold of that sin in your body, if you don't start getting a hold of those pictures and those images like the world and the fashion of the world, the music of the world, the lure of the world, the lifestyles of the world, perhaps God is going to allow certain things to pass into your life that he thought to do unto them. So just take that to heart. What are those pricks in your eyes? What are those things in your life, guys, that the Lord gave you the power over? Do you want to walk in the freedom and enjoy the joy and the happiness that he gives you as a sanctified, saved, blood-bought and blood-washed sinner? Or do you still want some righteousness and eternal life over here while you're dwelling in the promised land of your new life in Christ, but you still want a little bit of the world? You still want some Egypt? You still like those movies? You still like that music? You still like that hanging out over here? You still like the camaraderie? You know what God said? It's going to be a problem until you get a hold of that thing. So we can't expect God to do it all. He already gave us the power. Now I have to take that power and exercise it. Y'all understand what we're saying here? All right, let's go ahead and close. Father, I thank you for this Sunday school message, Lord. I pray that you would help me with the pricks in my life, the thorns in my life that are being a hindrance to me being a godly child this morning. Father, I pray that you would help all of us, all the members here today, Lord, that are saved, blood washed, sanctified. Lord, that you would help them to surrender to you those things that may still be a hindrance to their walk with you, Lord. Would you please meet with us today, Lord? Help us to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit of God so we can surrender those things to you, Lord, and so we can walk in freedom. Lord, for some of us that are struggling to deliver, if you will, these pricks out of our life, Lord, please move even more so in our lives. If some of us are weak and some of us are a little stubborn, if some of us are a little hard-headed and a little stiff-necked because we don't want to give it up, but something deep down inside wants us to, Lord, help move even more, Lord, in our lives so we could just finally give it to you, Lord, and you can give us the freedom from that. We thank you for what you're going to do, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, church, 15-minute break. Y'all get some coffee, get some tea. The Lord bless. All right. All right. Café, té, okay.